Welcome to the show, and it is Thursday, and this is going out on Mintwave Radio, so you can just ask Alexa for Mintwave, or you can go to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/Mintwave-radio to listen in live and to see our schedule for other hosts. With relating to the podcast, you can go to KarenRobertsCoaching.com/podcast-network to see this particular podcast and any others that are in our network. You can download the app for Apple and Android, and please subscribe to any podcasts that take your fancy, follow, and leave a comment. So today's show, oh, it's a great number, Ryan, episode 111. And today we have Ryan McKinney, who is a coach, and we're going to be talking about motivation, engagement, and confidence. So I'm Karen Roberts. I'm your host. Now, we provide a platform for coaches, consultants, therapists and healers to get their message heard to the people who need to hear it. As owners of Mintwave Radio Station and the Raising Vibrations Podcast Network on Podbean. So come and have a look and see at our directory and see who is the right fit for you. So go to the website /directory to see a range of different coaches from the conventional to the more woo-woo. So Ryan McKinney, CPC, you love that woo-woo, PCC, ELIMP, you're going to have to explain that one, is a sought-after speaker and leadership coach. He helps powerful professionals reach new heights of success without sacrificing what they love the most. After a successful career and raising a loving family, Ryan now teaches others to create high-impact at work and at home. Ryan loves creating transformation with his clients, but his most important work is as a husband and father. So welcome to the show, Ryan. So if you could, first of all, for myself, can you explain those titles?
Yeah, it's a little bit of alphabet soup behind names these days. So CPC, Certified Professional Coach. ACC is with the International Coaching Federation. That's the associate coach. I'm actually PCC at this point in time, but they're still working through getting the backlog of folks that have achieved that. And the last one is ELIMP, and it's a good place for us to start, actually. It stands for Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioner, and it is a certification from the coaching school that I went to, which is IPEC. And IPEC, its own version of acronyms, is the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, and founded by Bruce D. Schneider, a pretty awesome guy. But his methodology that he uses for coaching is called energy leadership. And within energy leadership, there's an assessment where we can administer this assessment. It takes about 30 minutes to take it. It's 80 questions kind of thing. And it's, you know, it's one of those leadership assessments, like on Forbes top 10 leadership assessments, you know, up there with Myers-Briggs and, you know, DISC assessment, all that good stuff. But this one actually measures your current level of leadership potential and tells you areas where you may not necessarily see how you're showing up in a not so happy light for other folks. And it allows you to kind of get that self-awareness to step back and say, okay, I didn't recognize I was showing up like that. What can I do about it? Now you can change and start to make transformation happen. So it's a pretty special part of what I offer, and I do it with every single one of my clients. We do an ELI, so it's pretty awesome.
Fantastic. So it's, well, I suppose awareness is step one, isn't it? You know, most of us are walking around pretty much on autopilot. So a lot of the things that we might think we're doing well, to others, it may be a slightly different story. So until we are aware of it, then we can never change. That's one thing for sure, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, that piece of awareness is so big. And I know that a lot of your guests probably talk about this, but that is the one thing that sets us apart as a species, is that we can step back away from ourselves and look at the situation that we're in at the same time we're in it. And most of us, to your point, put that on autopilot. It's that subconscious takes over, and so powerful, right? Everything we learn how to do and repetition, we just kind of go, oh, I don't have to think about that. And there's, you know, how many of us have driven home from work and then, you know, 15, 30 minutes later go, I don't remember driving. Like, I was just thinking, driving on autopilot, basically. I mean, how dangerous is that? But at the same time, we've all done it. And we just kind of give our subconscious. And what a lot of my work does is says, hey, we're going to pull that back out of your subconscious. We're going to look at this and we're going to put it front and center. And we're going to see, hey, do you like this? Do you like where it's going? So.
Love that. And that seems to be the thing. I mean, I suppose in a way, as a species, we can get lazy, which, I mean, it has its good points and its bad points. Because as you said, you know, the most of our day, we've learned certain skills to a point where we don't have to consciously think about it. And we can do a lot of these complex things like driving. Obviously, it's got to be safe, but we can actually do it pretty much on autopilot. You say, yeah, you could be having a conversation and then, you know, you keep on going, as long as you know where you're going, right? The moment you're lost, it's a different thing because your critical thinking comes back into play. And I can't even hear my kids. It's like, oh, please be quiet. I need to concentrate because I need all my senses to be there in the moment to focus. Whereas if it's a journey that we've been doing over and over and over, so certain things serve us, but like you say, it seems to be that if we want to create some form of change, whatever that change may look like, is that we do need to be aware, we need to be conscious to actually create that change and then do that consciously over and over and over again until it has become automated and it is habitual. It's quite a fascinating subject, really. So for you, how did you first get into coaching in the beginning? Can you share your story?
Yeah, it's you know, I used to think it was unique, but the more coaches I talk to, this is a lot how it happens. So I won't fake being unique on this, but I will tell you my story. It is my own. About 5 years ago, I have been in my career 20 years in industry in corporate America, going through that. Different industries, worked in the financial services industry for 10 years, worked in leadership. I started as a credit collector, which is like the worst job you could ever have, by the way. And then worked my way up to a market executive and ran multiple retail locations, multiple commercial locations for several different banks, and then switched industries, went into working in strategic planning for a manufacturing company and in leadership for, you know, a lot of years. And about 5 years ago, I had, you know, recognized that in my career, every couple of years, I was moving up and advancing in my career. And I had applied for a few jobs and got turned down for all three of them. And within my own company. And I said, okay, there's three of these things I got turned down for that I would be a good candidate for, it's not them, it's me. What's going on here? So I hired a coach. And over the course of a year working with that coach, she helped me to understand that I was definitely in my own way. I was projecting one thing and intending to project something else. My heart was in it. I wanted the right things, but I had put so much of that leadership skills with other people and emotional intelligence on autopilot. And as a result, I was intending one thing, but showing up a different way. She helped me see that, and we worked through that and created some awareness for myself, quite honestly. And then after working with her for about a year, I had, you know, shifted and transformed and changed as a leader, and different things were happening in my life. My home life was better. My work life was better. And lo and behold, the company tapped me on the shoulder. I didn't go looking for the job. The company tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, we've got this great project we want you to take on. We're going to give you a budget. You're going to, you know, implement this new program. You're going to get a new team. You get to hire it from the ground up. And I was like, okay, this coaching thing works. Like I'm a big proponent now. And my coach said, wow, that's great. Congratulations. You got everything you wanted. What do you want to do now? And I said, I think I want to do for other people what you just did for me. It was so powerful. And being in leadership and mentoring people for, you know, 15 years prior to that, I had lots of opportunities to help and guide and help people transform their lives and their careers, but never in a methodical way. And I saw what she was able to do in a very short amount of time with me, you know, relatively short amount of time in a year. And it was so powerful that I want to do that for other people. And that's where my coaching career was born.
Love that. And yeah, you're right. It's, I mean, everyone's got a story and your story is your story, but it does seem to be that many people who found some form of transformation, because it's had such a massive effect on them, I suppose it's only natural that you want to go then and share it with the world, because when you see people that are feeling stuck or they are struggling, and when you're aware that you know that things can change for them, and it's going to take coach. We all need coaches. Everybody needs a coach for different things. You know, we don't know it all. And it's not even just the knowledge. Sometimes it's because we can hear things over and over again, can't we? And not actually hear it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we just need to really have that one-to-one with somebody that can really sort of bring it to the surface so that you can act on it. Because knowledge, you know, without implementation is not worth anything, really, is it?
Yeah, not really at all. And you know, it's what you something you said there about coaches. As a coach, I have a coach, right? I mean, nothing says I believe in coaching like having my own coach. And there's a lot of things that I could figure out myself. And I heard this analogy a couple of days ago, and I'm stuck on it. So, you know, you get one of those things, you're like, oh, that's really good. And now, you know, sorry for all my clients, but they're going to hear it too, right? It's like, it's coming out. It's going to come through. But with coaches and somebody, you know, that needs a coach, and we talk about everyone kind of needing a coach, you can do this on your own. You can do it without a coach. But it would be like getting on a rickety bicycle with a bent wheel and starting in New York and trying to pedal your way to California. You'll make it.
You'll absolutely make it.
But exactly. You'll make it. But you could also buy a plane ticket and you could get there in just a few hours. And that's the difference of working with someone that knows how to take you from one place to another, knows how to show you the way you're showing up, knows how to bring awareness to the situations that you're in so that now you can step back and look at it. That's the plane ticket versus the rickety old bicycle of doing it by yourself. You can get there. It's just going to take you a lot longer. And if you really like exploring and you really like, you know, falling down, getting bumps and bruises along the way, and that's what makes you happy, then by all means, don't hire a coach. But if you want to get there fast and you want to get there in an effective way, get somebody in your life and, you know, get the best coach that you can afford at the time. And sometimes that's one that you can only find for free, you know, somebody who's going to mentor you. Just be aware that there's differences in mentors and coaches and, you know, certainly differences in people who are therapists, licensed therapists versus a certified coach. Those are very different worlds. They play a lot of times in some of the same sandboxes, but they're all very different. But I invite everyone to get the best coach you can afford at that point in time, and then ultimately level up as you go.
I love what you're saying. That is entirely our philosophy. I mean, do you even think that, say, 20 years ago, you would have even heard the coach that you have currently? Because for me, when I started out 20 years ago, my first coach, I needed that person to meet me where I was at that time. And like you say, then you keep leveling up. And every single coach I've had has been brilliant and was needed and necessary for that moment in my life. And I think that is so important. And this is why I always say that the title coach, it doesn't really mean anything until you ask the question. So like, even for you, so who specifically do you serve?
So for me specifically, and this is so funny because like, I love this question, especially for coaches when they're relatively new in their career, because when I first came out, I could tell you like that, this is who I'm going to serve. And then after about 6 months, I was like, I don't know, because I like serving this group of people and I like serving this group of people. And before you know it, it got this big circle of people that I served. And then I went super narrow and I gyrated over this so long. And ultimately, now that I've got, you know, a good 4 years of coaching under my belt and I can look back at the clients that I've served, Now I can truly say who that is. And it's business leaders who are working to develop their confidence, who are working to get remotivated and looking for work-life balance. And that's a term that gets tossed around a lot, but typically people who are struggling with burnout and sometimes they don't even know it. And I help people in that arena. And specifically, I look at a couple of different categories. And I love when you put out there with a sprinkling of the woo-woo, I was like, I gotta talk to her. I gotta be on her podcast because I've got a little sprinkling of the woo-woo, but at the same time, I've got this structured, methodical approach that creates a good mix for me anyway. But in this methodical approach, imagine drawing a box with a four blocker, right? You draw a cross mm-hmm. in the center and you got four different blocks there. And on the left-hand side, you write self at the top block and you write people at the bottom block. And then across the top, you on the left-hand side, you write home. And then on the right-hand side, you write work. And now you've got self-leadership at home, self-leadership at work, people leadership at home, and people leadership at work. And when we can break things down, because those are very different areas of life, right? The way that I lead myself in my home, taking care of my fitness, taking care of my mental health, taking care of my, you know, my health, physical well-being, taking care, you know, getting good rest, all those kind of things. That's a self-home kind of bucket. And then there's a self-work bucket. And when I take care of myself at work, I'm making sure that I am on time. I've got my time management. I'm making sure that I'm getting off work on time, that I'm pushing, you know, all the right buttons for myself to be excited about the work I'm doing. And then I flip that over to the people leadership side, people leadership at home. I've got certain responsibilities that I take care of here in my house. My wife has certain responsibilities she takes care of here in the house. My children have certain responsibilities they take care of in the house. But we're all leading each other in different ways. And the way that I connect with other people in my home can be similar, but it's also very different than the way I connect with people in my work. And now today, as a full-time coach doing that, it's very, very different. But I specifically help people in that area. So we develop confidence. We get people motivated with the energy of leadership, and then also help them to create the balance by looking at that quadrant.
Brilliant. And I mean, you're so right. And what I see is so many people, especially when they're new and their new coaches coming in, it's like their goal is to have that work-life balance. But it doesn't look like that when they get going. You know, they're surgically attached to their phone. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, they're heading towards burnout. And yeah, I agree. It's so important to get that balance. I think from the get-go, setting mm-hmm. boundaries from the get-go. But, you know, so many people, and I love what you say, because it's not just woo-woo. And I think there are two, in some way, people are sort of almost dividing and it's either one or the other, but none of them are going to be right. It is about the combining, the bringing it together, the mind, body and spirit. We are all human beings. And whether you're doing business to business, business to customer, it's human to human. And we need that balance. I've realized it myself because I won't even tell you how many times I've being close to burnout or actually had burnout because I've had one of these things out of balance. And I think that is massive. So from what I'm hearing, are you dealing with a lot more corporate or more individual business owners?
It's really about a 50-50 mix for me. It's so interesting because I've had the long career in corporate, so I know the struggles that people are going through. I know what it takes to kind of navigate that environment. So there's a lot of people that gravitate to me towards that. And when I do work with people there, it's really about keeping them from burning out or coming back from burnout a lot of times, people in corporate. And when it comes to business owners, it's usually business owners who are, you know, kind of what I call 12 months to zero, getting ready to launch. They're thinking about launching. It's helping them to get up and off the ground and launch. And then also from zero to 18 months, where they launched and they kind of went, oh crap, what did I do? Like, I've lost my mind. Have I gone crazy here? And, you know, helping them to put some structure around the things in their business and create some of those boundaries that you're talking about, but at the same time, keep their eye on how to actually move a business, thinking about a business as a business. It is designed to create profit. That's what businesses do. And how do you look at the right things and not get focused on the wrong things? For example, big challenge for people when they're starting in the business world is, you know, in the last 15 to 20 years, the word social media was born. And business owners now, they think that the first step is go out there and get all the Instagram account names, get the Twitter account names, get the Facebook page name, get all the names. And I've got to be on all of them. And when I start working with clients, I go, put that down. Get your names. Go ahead and register them. Get all the stuff. Stop posting stuff online for now. And they're like, no, but I got to be. And, you know, it's a long time and it pays off later. And I'm like, I know that. What you need to do right now as a business owner is to have a conversation with someone who could potentially be a customer. That's it. You need to have conversations over and over and over again with people to see how you can serve them. And if you can show up in some way that serves them, and that means solve a problem for them, then you've got an opportunity to do business for them. But you showing up on their Facebook page or their Instagram feed doesn't solve a problem for them. It's probably creating one for them. So let's put that aside until you've got an overflow of good interactions with your clients. And when you have an overflow, that's when your social media is born. You can start to look and go, look what I did with my client. Look what I did to solve this problem. Look what I do to solve problems. And that's a whole lot more compelling than, hey, will you hire me to solve your problem on social media? And they go, oh, got it. So that's the overflow piece. And that's a big awareness for a lot of business owners.
That's massive, because for what I see, everyone just thinks that all they've got to do is post on social media. Mm-hmm. And then they're waiting and crickets. And then they think, I need to do a little bit more. I need mm-hmm. to be more consistent with my posting. I need to hire a copywriter to write mm-hmm. the right. And it's like, no, you've got it backwards. But do you find that many are resisting that reaching out? It's like there's a balance between they don't want to be spammy or pushy, but they need mm-hmm. business. And you've got to start a conversation. The person can say no, but it's almost like the idea of active prospecting has mm-hmm. become a dirty word mm-hmm. and has been linked with spam. But the two things are very different, aren't they?
Very different.
So very different. Can you share with the audience what your view of the difference between these two and very important things? Because light bulb, if you're in business, you're in sales.
Yeah,
that's 100%. You've got to get the sales.
100%. And this will kind of tie in with confidence as well. Part of the reason that I'm going to bear with me. We're going to a couple of different places and we're going to come
that's
back to the
okay.
center and then we're going to go. Okay. So with what you said, the active prospecting becoming kind of this dirty word out there, it is very different than people and reaching out to, you know, people that you have no business talking to in DMs. And I don't know how many of these you get, but I get hundreds and people are going, hey, you know, I could do this for you. I could do that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, first of all, I didn't ask. I appreciate it, but I didn't ask. But so when it comes to this, the difference in those two, the spammy kind of folks that are just pushing things on you and the people who are actively prospecting, is the intent for the conversation. Mm-hmm. And the intent for the conversation is evident to everybody except the person that is offering it, especially the spammy people. So what I mean is that the spammy person that wants to get out there and meet someone, and they truly do want to help. I mean, they really do. They're really actively trying to find somebody to help. They just don't know how to get the message across. What they're trying to do is get a customer. And the people who are actively prospecting are having conversations. They are only trying to connect with somebody. They are trying to get to know them, genuinely interested in them. And through that conversation, they may hear that there's a problem that they could solve. If they do, they say, hey, that sounds like something that I do. Would you be interested in hearing more about that? That is an active prospecting conversation where I'm solving a problem. And, you know, it comes back to the old adage that nobody likes to be sold, but everybody loves to buy things. And that's kind of where that intent comes in, right? If I'm reaching out, there's a client that I'm working with right now, and networking is like the bane of his existence. He's like, I hate networking. And I was like, the reason you hate networking is because you're going into this with the wrong intent, and you're thinking about this in a way that's not going to serve you. And he's like, yeah, but I just, you know, it feels so grimy and this and that. And I said, okay, well, I want you to go to this networking event. I'm using my air quote rabbit ears for those that are just listening. I want you to go to this networking event, and I don't want you to network at all. And he's like, well, what am I going to do? And I was like, I just want you to talk to people, just have a conversation with them and just connect. That's all I want you to do. And the only thing that I want you to do is walk out of there with three people's name that you would like to know more about them. That's all I want. That's the only assignment. And he's like, okay, I'll give it a shot. He comes back the next week. He's like, that was crazy. I ended up with two referrals and four people that I want to get to know better and this and that. That was actually kind of fun. And I was like, you know why? And he goes, why? And I was like, because you didn't go to sell somebody something. You went to actually connect and get to know people. And that is how business, good business, is done. Genuinely solving problems for people that you know, like, and trust, and that know, like, and trust you. And yeah. when you come back to that piece where it's like the intent of it, right? If my intent is to help you solve a problem, and you actually got a problem that I can solve for you, you'll come and say, hey, I know you, I like you, I want you to help me solve my problem. All right. So that's one piece of it, right? The intent piece. Well, when you come back and you start talking about how we show up as business owners, how we show up with other people, it's genuinely connecting with other people. And when I want to have a conversation with somebody, I don't think I have to forbid myself sometimes, because, I mean, let's be honest, we're in business. We want to make money. We want to, you know, we want to do business. We want to serve people. We want to make the sale. But I have to, this is the woo-woo part of me coming out, right? I have to step back from that and I say, okay, of course I want those things. I'm noticing here that, yes, I want the sale, but I also know that it's not helpful for me to walk into this conversation wanting the sale. What is helpful is for me to walk into this conversation and get to know this person better and try to understand if they have an issue or not. That's what's intent. That's the intent that I want to walk in this with. And when I can set the course that way, I walk away, whether I have a problem I can solve for them or not, I walk away with an ambassador or a client. And they're going to walk away. And that's my intent. I want to walk away with an ambassador. That's my whole intent. I want somebody to know what I do and be willing to rave in the rooftops about what I do to somebody else. And that has made all the difference in my coaching business going where it has and being as successful as it has in the last 4 years.
Brilliant. And would you be where you are today if you hadn't gone out and asked some questions?
No, not at all. And you know, at first I was like, oh, no, I got to get out on social media. I was doing all these things, right? So I don't mean to sound judgy when I say that, but it's like, I was doing all the things wrong. Like I was going out and saying, oh, I want business. I want to serve people. I want to do this. I was also very timid and scared to talk to people. And confidence, when you come back, circle back to the confidence piece of it, confidence is, you can gain confidence by practicing something, right? If I'm going to pick something, if I'm going to be a baseball player and I step up to the plate, if I swing the bat 1,000 times, I'm going to feel more confident stepping up to the plate that 1,001 time than I would if I walked up there the first time. Sure, you're going to get confidence from experience. But confidence is the result of doing things. And a lot of my clients think that they have to have the confidence to do them first.
And
for me, exactly, right? Confidence comes from clarity. Right. Clarity leads to confidence. Confidence leads to consistency, and that leads to success. But the clarity comes from imperfect action. And my coach taught me that, Krista Martin. She's a brilliant lady. But she's like, imperfect action. When you take an imperfect action, just get moving. You're going to learn. And when you learn, you've got clarity. And as you get clarity, you get the confidence to keep moving forward. And that's where it really comes from.
Brilliant. And do you not find that, unfortunately, many have that completely backwards and they think, they perceive mm-hmm. that what they need to do is just gain more knowledge. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I need to do that. And now I need to learn that. And now I need to go and read that book and get on that course rather than the actual doing
yeah.
part. And like you say, it's all, but it's almost like I feel so many are just afraid to start to do the doing part because they think I'm not ready yet. I've got to, okay, now I've got to, and they're, it's, I'm sure it's unconscious, right? Nobody wants to self-sabotage their own businesses, but they're doing it because they're putting it off rather than just take it, like you say, taking action. I love that. Imperfect. What was the saying? Imperfect action.
Imperfect action leads to clarity. Yeah.
Brilliant. Because yeah, you're not going to get it right first time. And if you do, brilliant, even better. But most people are not going to get it right the first time. But you learn and then you do it again. And it's the only way we learn anything. A baby's not going to get up and just walk because they've been watching some baby TV show that teaches them how to get up and walk, or their mother's trying to read to them a book about getting up and walking. The baby has to get up, fall up. Yep. I mean, it's, why do we think that's how we operate? We've operated like that from a baby. Why do we think anything's going to be any different with relating to business? Do you see a real difference between people who are working in a company versus all of a sudden by themselves trying to run a business?
With respect to learning and confidence?
Well, just doing the thing. I mean, in a job, they just they've got to get it done, haven't they?
Yeah. So I'm understanding now. So there's a talk that I do called the productivity trap. And it speaks to this in both areas. What ends up happening is, whether if it's a business owner, especially a new business owner, and social media is a great example of that, they will get really productive on social media. They will write blog posts and, you know, I've got to write a blog post. I've got to do, you know, Instagram this. I've got to tweet this. I've got to do that. They'll get super productive. And on the business side of things, on the corporate side of things, where I'm working with people in corporate America, and I know this is going out in the UK. So if I'm working in corporate, it doesn't matter if it's corporate. Yeah. If I'm working in corporate, they get lazy a lot of times because there's the monotony of doing the process work at work. You know, it's like, it's Monday, I got to do this report. It's Tuesday, I got to go to this meeting. It's this, I got to go to that. And they just get in the cycle of just kind of doing things. And both of those create this productivity trap. They, you know, it's not uncommon for either one, the business owner or that person in corporate, to come back at the end of the month and go, what did I do? Like, what actually did I get for what I did? And they get really disappointed and disenfranchised because they're in this productivity trap. They feel productive. And what they're doing is they're leaning in on these things that make them feel productive in the moment, but aren't actually connected to producing the real results. And it's such a big change for people when they see that. But it usually comes from, I do this talk also called Energy Leaks. And one of the energy leaks is playing small. And we don't think about this, but it's like not stepping up when we're supposed to, not stepping into the things that we're needed to be stepping into, or the things that actually move our goals forward or create transformation. We can kind of go, yeah, but I don't have to. Like, I'm not the worst. So I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst either. I'm just kind of stuck in the middle and it's okay. I can be safe here. And that playing small leads you to the productivity trap where you go, you know what? I don't want to stand out at work, because people that stand out in the corporate world, they either get promoted or they get their head chopped off, right? In the business world, I don't want to call those people because it's scary. What if they tell me no? I'm going to ruin my opportunity to talk to that person forever if they tell me no. Okay. And like when we go through these things, this is real like energy management that we do when it comes to this. And it's this idea of creating what I call catabolic energy. And at IPEC, we call it catabolic energy. It's probably worth explaining what that means. But it's stress energy. Catabolic is tearing down, destructive kind of energy. It's fight or flight energy. And typically, when we are feeling that fight or flight energy and we operate from that place, we will not call the client. We will not call the prospect. We will not show up at the network meeting. We will not stand in front of the podium and do that. We will not jump on the podcast. We will not do the things that are hard for us. We will shrink back and say, okay, I'm safe here. I'll play small and I will post something on Instagram. I will post this. And then I can, quite honestly, I can gripe about it because nobody liked my post. Nobody did this. Nobody called me this week. I can blame it on somebody else because I did all the things. And that's this productivity trap that we get into.
That is, well, that's perfectly put. Yes. I mean, it just goes to show again, though, why it is so important to focus on all areas, not just one or the other, because they're not going to work. Because, like, you know, that little thing that you mentioned there about stress, the fight, flight, freeze. It's more important than I feel most people realize. Yeah. And yeah, you're so right. Any of that, when stress, when cortisol is in the system, if you're suffering with fear, doubt, anxiety, all those negative, yeah, of course, nothing productive is going to come out of that. Right. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, find me somebody who is very productive when they're under all those kinds of emotions. So it just goes to show that the woo-woo stuff that people think is just woo-woo is actually massively important to the success, because the actions that come from that space are going to give you whatever the result, whether it's good or bad. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that you're bringing the two sides together, or three, mental, physical, spiritual, together, because that's how we operate. And isn't it interesting that, we can look, I'm going to put my hand up. You know, I was very busy being busy.
Yeah.
But was it productive?
Right.
And it is. I mean, I know there's plenty of, I'm trying to think of that book or something about eating the first worm, or I can't remember anyway. but you're just doing the most important thing first, getting it out the way first, because that's going to give you the confidence. So, I mean, you know, with relating to confidence, I mean, what's your definition of what confidence is?
Yeah. So my definition of confidence, and I think there's a couple. One is the ability to feel good about doing something. Like, I feel like I've got this. Like, that's the definition of confidence. But the other one is one's own ability to know they can handle whatever comes their way. And that one is so much more powerful to me, because it's not knowing, you know, I can do something today that I have never done before, and I can approach it with confidence. And the reason is because I know that I have lived, I've walked this planet for 48 years, and everything else hasn't killed me yet. So I'm going to be okay when this is over. Like, I know I can handle whatever shows up today. And that doesn't mean I'm going to enjoy everything that shows up today, but I know I could handle whatever shows up today. And then a lot of cases, because I have that confidence stepping into a situation, I do actually enjoy it. I do actually get more satisfaction out of it. So for me, it's not just about knowing that, you know, I've got the experience of having done something. It's also about knowing that whether I've got the experience or not, I can handle whatever comes my way.
So what I'm hearing from you is really, it's having that inner confidence, that inner knowing and trusting, having faith that, you know, you're, you know, intuitively, you're going to be okay.
Yeah,
you're
going to be okay. So, and think about the word confidence, right? Confide. You're confiding, or it means to trust, a synonym to trust yourself. I'm trusting that I got this. Like, I believe in myself. And we hear the old sayings like, oh, you need to believe in yourself. Believing that you can handle it is that is the source of confidence. Now, it's an easy thing to say when you get this definition down. It is a much different thing to do. But one thing that you can practice as you step into challenging things, and this for, you know, coaches who are listening to this, business owners who are listening to this, anybody who's listening today, a way that you can practice that confidence is step into a difficult situation today and notice what you are hearing from your inner voice. If it is, what have I gotten myself into? Just notice that that's what you're saying to yourself. Create the awareness that that's the message you're hearing. And then say, but I've got this, right? Switch it over and start to disconnect from that thought that says, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. Why am I here? Disconnect from that. Hey, you know what? I'm having that thought. It's probably trying to keep me safe. Cool. What's helpful for me in this situation? Well, it would be helpful for me to not be afraid. Okay, so I'm not going to be afraid and make the decision consciously to do that. It's tougher to do and it takes a little practice. So if I, you know, like I do with my clients, I recommend don't start this with the toughest thing in your life today. Start this with little things, right? I mean, if you lack confidence to speak to somebody in the grocery store, then, you know, and that's not the toughest thing in the world for you, then try it there and work your way up, build up to that.
Brilliant. And that actually, what I heard from that was something you mentioned very early on about awareness, about having that ability to take a step back and sort of evaluate, okay, and be aware, right, how am I feeling right now? And where is this feeling coming from? And I can't think of some of the other questions you use there, but the whole point of it is to be able to take that step back and be aware of the feelings that are coming up. Don't suppress them, but look at them. And then because you are now conscious and in the present moment looking at them, you can then evaluate. And going back to, because or otherwise all of this would be on autopilot.
Yep.
And then we would have this natural trigger to react to certain situations. That way is sort of stopping it in the moment, bringing all it up into the light of day to, like, you know, why am I feeling this fear? And maybe sometimes that would be enough to go, where on earth is that coming from? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And sometimes it might be something a little bit deeper that you need to sort of look at. And again, it's like you say, practicing being conscious, being in the moment, to help you deal with stuff. I love that. I've never heard it described that way before. So for you, so you're helping people with your coaching, sort of with confidence and motivation, and what's the big promise? If people are going to come to you, where are they at right now? Mm-hmm. And where are they going to be when they finish with you, hopefully?
Yeah, so... one of the things that we talk a lot about when we start working together is energy and the management of that. And that'll lead you to the confidence, that'll lead you to the balance, but it's actually what's tying the two together. And that, I don't know if you remember, but I said, energy's my thing. That's what I like to talk about when we first started talking. But what they're going to know is when they come to me, they're going to say, I've got issues with confidence. I've got issues with creating, you know, balance in my life. I don't say they're suffering from burnout, but I can see that they are. Or they're saying, I need to create some motivation in my life. How do I do that? Well, when they leave working with me, they are more confident. They are able to handle any situation that comes up. They're able to motivate themselves, and they've got some tactics that they can use to kickstart the motorcycle when it's you know, frozen up on them. But that all comes back to energy. And Karen, when I mean energy here, I'm thinking two types of energy. And we talk about this a lot at IPAC, and it's catabolic, which is that fight, flight, or freeze energy. And then there's anabolic, which is this growth-oriented, restorative energy that's associated with joy. And when you put it like that and you kind of make it this, you know, draw a line down the middle of the screen and you say, okay, it's either stress energy or it's energy that's associated with joy. People are like, oh, I always want the joy. Yeah, sure. But 98% of people are down in stress energy all the time. And you said something earlier where you said, you know, you're not very productive in that. And I agree with you. At the same time, people can get the illusion that they are productive because fight or flight energy sometimes does produce results, but they're not sustainable for your spiritual, mental, or emotional health. And they will take a toll on you physically and can take a toll on you socially and environmentally. The you know, your even your office or your car can look, you know, a mess when life isn't in order. But this idea of catabolic energy, being able to step back and be aware that I'm feeling this fight or flight energy, honor the feeling, recognize it, acknowledge it, get curious about where it's coming from, because curiosity lives on this side of the spectrum, the anabolic side of things. And when you start to get curious about where things are coming from, you start to look for the opportunities in situations that are challenging you. You start to see how you can serve other people and you start to see how you can take responsibility for things and accept where they are. You automatically shift yourself out of that stress energy because now you're in the land of possibility. You're over here in anabolic energy versus I'm just trying to survive. Right. And then you think about the gateway to that is this kind of middle ground where responsibility is introduced. And you think about that word responsibility, the ability to respond and not just react. And when you're in fight or flight energy, that's all you're doing. You're just reacting. Yes. It's about survival.
Yes. So there you go. I'm a huge believer in energy. Look, I've got my little device for sending frequencies. I love it. It's because it's an intangible. Mm-hmm. People can't actually physically, well, some people can see it, I suppose, but most people, they don't put this importance because we're so conditioned to look at the things that we're doing and not thinking about this. Yeah, but how are you doing it? Are you in this fight, flight, freeze mode, or are you relaxed, being intuitive, listening? Completely different. And I suppose it's only in the having somebody like you to make them aware so that then when they can do things and it's proof in themselves for themselves. Mm-hmm. They've got to experience the difference of doing it one way under stress and doing it another way. And then they'll know that the difference is energy. It's such a difficult thing, isn't it? To prove it.
It is a difficult thing to prove. And that's why when people ask, you know, how do you support people? How do you help them? I really love to do like a deep coaching session with someone. It's a good hour and a half, just kind of dig in and find out what it is they want, what's keeping them from, why don't you have that yet? You know, this is something you've always wanted in your life. And why hasn't it shown up for you yet? What's not happening for you? And a lot of times it's this catabolic energy that they're not seeing. And when people don't have the tangible of something that they can hold in their hand, we have a tendency to want to make it tangible. So, you know, I've heard coaches say, well, you know, I'll take you from zero to six figures and this and that. And you know what? I can help you get to six figures by helping you with these other things. But I can't be responsible for what you do when you and I aren't working together. Like you got to handle your own business. And if six figures is what makes you happy, then awesome. If multiple six figures, maybe it's seven, maybe it's $8. I don't know, but we've got to figure out what that is for you and help you get there. But the way that I demonstrate this to people is especially, okay, corporate on one side and then business owners on the other. For corporate people, I say, okay, energy. And they go, oh, okay. And that starts to feel a little woo woo for them. And I go, have you ever been in a boardroom or a conference room and somebody walk in and the air gets sucked out of the room? Everybody looks down at their desk and they're doing like this and they can't, you know, they're just dreading what somebody's going to say because it is not going to be good and you can feel it. And they're like, oh yeah. And I'm like, that's energy. I said, have you ever been in a room where somebody walks in and you can't wait to talk to them? Like two or three other people are talking to them. Your eyes light up. Their eyes are lighting up. You're having a good time and you can't wait to talk to that person because you want to catch up. Like, yeah. And I go, that's also energy. I said, have you ever walked in a room or been in a situation where somebody walks in and you just know that if this place caught on fire, I'm going wherever that lady goes because she knows what she's doing. Like confidence. So you can see that they know what's going on. Yes. And I go, that is also energy. And then on the business owner side, I say, have you ever been in a situation where your palms get sweaty when you're talking to somebody who might buy something from you? And they go, yeah. And I go, that's energy. I said, have you ever been in a situation where you just sold the biggest deal of your life and you're so excited to tell everybody else? And I said, they go, yeah. And I go, that's energy. That is a way to help them make those things tangible. And then what I do is I say, I teach people the ability to recognize and acknowledge that energy and also to shift that energy from everybody in the room looking down at their thing going, oh my God, I hope he doesn't call on me. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen? To how do you get that to be, you know what, that's just Bob. And this, you know, we're going to shift the energy in this room and you're just going to ask questions and you're going to go from this fight or flight energy to the land of curiosity and go, you know what, Bob, that's a great question you're asking about why we haven't hit our numbers yet. I'm curious, what does everybody else think? And the infusing the curiosity in that moment can shift the whole room. And they go, oh, and I go, I help people learn how to do that for themselves first and then do that for other people that they're around. And they go, got it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliantly explained. Love that. So for the listeners out there, how would they get in touch with you, share what it is you have to offer?
So a couple of things. One is you can get in touch with me at my website. It's ryandmckinney.com/start. And that's my little Linktree page. And it's got all the kind of the fancy little doodads there. But it's got a way to get in touch with my website. It's got all my socials there. It's got, you know, contact information. One thing that I would like to put out there is a lot of people are suffering from burnout or may not know that they're suffering from burnout. Maybe they just feel a little low on energy. I am launching a 30-day recharge challenge. Just launched it yesterday, as a matter of fact. And it's also there. If somebody wants to join that, it's free, completely free. You can kind of do that. And you can learn more about this whole energy management and how do I spark the motivation within myself by doing that that challenge. So that would be a good way.
Brilliant. And I bet it's incredibly rewarding watching the transformation. It's sort of just confirming that, you know, this stuff about energy is right. And I do think more and more people are sort of coming up, you know, it is becoming more and more mainstream. You know, there is more research thanks to people like Joe Dispenza, who is, again, I think, combining the science with the woo-woo to like prove that, look at people's brains, you know, this is happening when we do this. It's now, I think people are starting to, oh, okay. Which is what, I mean, it's all down to perception, isn't it? Which is why my whole show, I mean, I don't even like using the word woo-woo, but because so many mainstream, that's too far out, that having that, oh, just a sprinkling, just sort of drip feed the info until eventually they might realize, do you know what? It's all woo woo. It all is woo woo. It all comes from energy, and how we show up and what frequency we're showing up in is going to affect what happens in our life on a business, health, relationship, whatever. It is all energy, and the rest of it are the tools and processes and strategies that we need to succeed in certain things. We need to use our mind. Of course we do. Our mind is there as a tool, but for most people, the mind is just using them. And when we get in the right energy,
that alignment that you're feeling, and this, I'm about to date myself, but so for those of you who are under 48 that are listening, we used to have to we used to have to turn the knob on our stereo to tune in to a radio station. I know you don't do that today, and that's not what you're doing if you're listening to this. But we used to have to turn that and it would tune. You would hear it go, and then it would line up and you would tune into that frequency and you could hear the music crystal clear. You could hear your favorite songs play and you get, you know, alive with this music and all that kind of stuff. And the thing is that frequency was out there, whether you tuned into it or not. When you learn to tune into that aligned frequency for yourself, you learn to tune into that energy that is you, that is when you truly come alive. And yes, Karen, that is so rewarding. I love when a client says to me, I was never able to do this before and I can do this now. I love when I hear those words.
It's the best thing. That I think that's why coaches think they're doing it for the money. And it's funny you mentioned that. Again, even my own business page, or my group rather, is six figures and beyond. And again, doesn't really resonate. But the reason I did it was sell them what they want, give them what they need. They might not know that they actually need to do a bit of meditation first.
That's right. And,
well, the thing is reduce their cortisol.
Well, that's right. But I mean, when you give them what they need, they can get what they want. The fact is if they don't get that woo-woo side and understand that piece of it first, they'll never get the six figures anyway.
100%. 100%. Yeah. But I think, you know, I think people are getting it. I think there's a big change. So, thank you for your time. Absolutely wonderful conversation. I love what you're doing. It sounds like it is a lot more, you know, strategy process combined with the energy. Like, it's not just the woo-woo. It's not just a little bit of motivating people. Actually helping people go from point A to point B and really looking within what's going on in their world, how are they feeling about certain situations. So yeah, brilliant. So yeah, get in touch with Ryan. All the links will be below. So once again, thank you for being here. And for anybody else listening, well, thank you for listening in. And if you're a coach and you're looking to maybe even start your own podcast, then please get in touch. The website's up there. Or if you just want a quick informal chat, then my website /discovery to book a call with myself or my team. And then for the rest of you, I will be back on Monday with a Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Bye.
Coffee Thanks, with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.